Welcome to Africa LSB Podcast, your monthly podcast for language services in Africa, where we cover trends, translation, interpretation, localization, and language industry in general. This podcast is presented by Bilingual Communications and Media Council and hosted by the wonderful Adina Maran Koulibaly. If you want to give your feedback or featured on the podcast, just send us an email at the address info@bilingualconsult.com.
For this episode, my guest is Dr. Long Fafa Danfa. He is the Executive Secretary of the African Academy of Languages. It's a pleasure to have him because we recently celebrated the African Languages Week last month, and it's been such a wonderful opportunity to talk about our African languages and to promote them as well. Dr. Long Fafa Danfa, you're welcome to Africa's LSP podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very happy being on this platform with you today. And as you've just said, my name is Long Fafa Danfa. I'm the Executive Secretary of the African Academy of Languages, which is the African Union's specialized institution. Our mandate is to develop and promote African languages by encouraging the formulation and establishment of vigorous and articulated language policies and the sharing of experience in policy making and implementation in the member states of the African Union, as a means of using African languages in a wider range of domains in partnership with the languages we inherit from Africa's colonial past. I am also acting director of the African Center for the Study and Research on Migration, and it's a specialized agency of the African Union. We are entrusted with the task of training member states, conducting capacity building training in migration governance, and producing a migration journal, and also doing research, especially qualitative research, and helping member states to develop migration policies. I am a writer and a specialist in slavery, Pan-Africanism, colonialism, and African literature. And as I said, my position here is to empower African languages so that we can use these languages as languages of instruction, official languages in the media, as a factor of African integration and development.
Thank you very much, Dr. Long. I think I'm very much interested to also know what your native language is and also for you to introduce yourself in that language so that we can have a feel of it.
My native language is Mandinka, Mandingo, you know, when you speak English, but we call it Mandinka. Mandinka, it's a family of West African languages. We call it at the African Union Mandenkan, which is the Bambara of Mali, the Jula of Burkina Faso and Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire. You have the Maninka-Kan of Guinea, Conakry, and the Mandinka-Kan of Gambia, Senegal, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. Mandingo, we are settlements in West Africa, I mean, principally. Into mu lang fa fa dam falti te be siring Africa la kaf ba me ya lon ko ya londi pour ka Africa dingol yiri wandi ka Africa dingol tankandi ka yiri wasa mana Africa wole tun ko me londi pour ka Africa la kaolu yiri wandi te be duko la wole to ka fa akala a na duko mu nyete ka Africa kaol ta ki dukundi Jako Africa Dingul Fanasi la Kaolta, Ye Karangala, Yele Kibarol Safala, Ye Dunia Kunyal Tamanda. Wale Manding Kole Munti Mbota Gambia, Gambia Bankoka.
Thank you. I didn't hear, but it was very interesting. Thank you very much for that. Now to the history about the establishment of Akaland. What I read was that it was established by the former president of Mali, His Excellency Alpha Omar Konare, by a presidential decree. And then it became in 2006 an African Union institution. So what was the interest, or how did all this come about?
The African Union came into being in 2002 when the former organization, the Organization of African Unity, was transformed to be more pragmatic and then to get away from this rhetoric of fighting against colonialism. And since the major parts of Africa have had their independence. Now, when the OEU was in existence, the very first institution that the heads of state and government of the member states of the Organization of African Unity established to develop African languages, basically to develop language policies for Africa, was called the Inter-African Bureau of Languages, stationed in Kampala, Uganda. Now, this Inter-African Bureau of Languages developed a language plan of action for Africa in 1985. Inter-African Bureau of Languages came into existence in the late 1970s. And in 1985, with UNESCO and the Secretariat of the Organization of African Unity, the Bureau developed the language plan of action for Africa, which is the major document that is guiding African people as far as language development and empowerment are concerned. Now, former President Alpha Omar Konare, His Excellency, was President of Mali and also the first chairperson of the African Union after the transformation. And he came up with this Pan-Africanist idea that, the leaders were conscious about that, we could see with the establishment of the Inter-African Bureau of Languages in Kampala, which failed somehow because of funding issues and some other issues. And then he thought that this should be renewed. This should be renewed because no people in this world can empower, can develop, or integrate, can develop themselves effectively, sustainably, while using other people's cultures and languages to the detriment of their own. And that this is simple logic. And then he came up with this idea to establish a mission, and this mission was called the Mission for the African Academy of Languages, MACALAN, which was established in on December 19, 2000. And Mali was responsible for this mission, was taking care of everything. And it was just like a ministerial, it was just like a ministry. And a former minister of education was nominated to head this mission. Mr. Samaseko, Adama Samaseko, was the first executive secretary of the nation. And then the mission was transformed to the African Academy of Languages in 2006, as you just said, when the heads of state and the government adopted the statutes of the African Academy of Languages in Khartoum to, mandate ACALAN to empower African languages so that the African peoples can also use their languages for their development, for their integration.
Very interesting insights there. And I believe that it's been a very great mission that ACALAN has taken on, especially with the celebration of the African Languages Week, which was from 24th to 30th January. How has it been like, marking this week, and when did it actually start?
Now, the African Languages Week, as you know, ACALAN has working structures, and ACALAN has working structures and organs as any institution belonging to intergovernmental organizations. Now, the Secretariat is one of the organs which is responsible for the day-to-day running of ACALAN, and our main role is to implement the mandate, the responsibility, the task we are entrusted with, which is to empower African languages, to use African languages so that the African people, who I said are the only people in this world that are trying to develop themselves using other people's languages and cultures, which never works. It doesn't work. It cannot work. Now, we sat down as one of the organs of ACALAN, the Secretariat, to initiate this African Languages Week, because we think that we should have time, we should have a moment for the African people each year to sit down and reflect on their languages, the capacities of their languages, the potentials these languages have, the aspects of these languages, to be able to empower them and to reflect and then transform all these aspects to become effective languages of integration and development. We made the proposition at the Specialized Technical Committee meeting. The Specialized Technical Committees of the African Union are thematic areas of including ministers and experts in the domain. And our Specialized Technical Committee is called Youth, Sport and Culture of the African Union. We presented this proposal to them in 2018 in Algiers, and then they endorsed the idea, and then it went to the Executive Council, and then to the summit, and then it became a program of the African Union, a major annual program when, as I said, all Africa would reflect, and that we include the six regions of Africa, the African Union, which is West Africa, North Africa, Central Africa, East Africa, Southern Africa, and the African diaspora. And then we launched the African Languages Week, the ACALAN Secretariat, with its partners, institutions dealing with languages and cultures, and other stakeholders in Ouagadougou in July 2020. And now this is the inaugural edition that we've just started. So it's just 1 year old. We're just starting to celebrate this African Languages Week. It is very important because its main objective, the main objective of this inaugural edition of the African Languages Week is to increase awareness and appreciation of African languages by looking at pragmatic ways of empowering them and rendering them relevant to the lives of Africans. That is the major objective. And we want to promote the dynamics of African worldviews. People express themselves in their languages. You can't express yourself effectively in a foreign language, because when you are expressing a foreign language, you are thinking in your own language. So African worldviews and philosophies, by putting them under the spotlight also to make them factors of sustainable development and integration of Africa, by putting African languages under the spotlight. And, you know, all through January 24 to 30, and using the period as a window to celebrate and reflect on African languages, the potentials of African languages, the capacities of African languages, the problems we encounter in using our languages, trying to use these languages, and how we can give economic values to African languages. So this, I mean, are the major aspect of it. But the African Languages Week is also geared to taking stock on how African languages are faring in the world of global languages, so as to see where we stand, as I've just said, you know, and what we need to do to improve the status of these languages for them to become languages of instruction, official languages, languages for the people. Because we say, looking at the population of Africa, it's only 40% of this population that speaks English or French or Portuguese or Spanish. The 60% that essentially use African languages need to be involved in Africa's development, in their own development. And if you use a people's language, that means you are using these people in their own development. As late President Mandela said, you speak to somebody in a language he knows, that goes to his head. But if you speak to the person in his own language, it goes to his heart. And the African Languages Week is also a factor of promoting peace and security and solidarity and cooperation and trade in Africa. Because if you go to a community and speak their language, we have vehicular cross-border languages, they would love you. They would leave everything they are doing and come to you because you are speaking their language. So this African Languages Week is essential, is very important for ACALAN, and it has become a major annual event. It's a perpetual rendezvous when all Africa would come together. This year, we have just started to do media outreach. And as you know, January is a difficult moment. People are coming from Christmas, New Year celebrations and things like that. And since it is the inaugural edition, we didn't have time to really do what we intend to do, but we're going to do remarkable things about our languages. So that is about the African languages preliminarily.
I love the fact that you mentioned that it's meant to build cooperation because, as you know, some of us in the language industry actually celebrated the African Languages Week as well. We wanted to support ACALAN in this endeavor. And it actually created a lot of solidarity, engagement, cooperation. And it was a really, really fantastic moment that we had together.
Yeah, you know, I have been following looking at the panorama, you know, of institutions, individuals, organizations, member states, you know, engaging in this inaugural edition of the African Languages Week. Organization or institution has done remarkable things. And as I've been saying to people, the African Languages Week is also a way of developing linguistic cooperation and exchange and assessing the necessary and vital work of development, the languages, and the work that still needs to be done. In 2018, I organized ACALAN Secretariat. We organized a meeting, we call it a partnership meeting, for institutions and organizations dealing with languages and culture in Nairobi. We were not aware of many institutions. Some attended, and we need to replicate that. We need to bring all these institutions together to try to see what we can do to concert our efforts to try to build a kind of, when we talk about languages, language development in Africa, I look at it as an umbrella aspect. An umbrella where ACALAN is the umbrella and all these institutions are there, not below, but attached to us, and we are doing the same thing. So we are going to encourage that, and I really, I'm really grateful to what you've done, and that you're still doing the job, because this is part of the African Languages Week, and then try to promote our languages, and then to try to, improve to promote this linguistic cooperation. I will continue. You are one of the major partners of ACALAN on the continent, and you are recognized. And we continue working with you and other institutions to empower this language. Because I tell people that this African Languages Week development program is a collective responsibility. It's not only ACALAN that can do the job. ACALAN have institutions do this job. This is our mandate. And we need to engage you. We need to do these things together to do it more effectively, sustainably, so that our languages can, occupy their rightful roles. And then this linguistic, what I call linguistic democracy and justice can be established so that the African people can use their languages. It is their right. That is what is fair. That so that an African child going to school, like a Mandingo child, speaking Mandingo in the family who knows nothing about English, all of a sudden, you take this child to school and then you start teaching this child English. What is the effect of that? That is the problem with us. And we need to, if you talk about African languages, people say, we have numerous languages. How are we going to go about that? I take an example of China. China has more than 200 languages. Well, they have brought up what we call Mandarin. People call it Chinese. It is not Chinese. It is Mandarin, which is only one of the numerous languages of China. And they are using it. And they have regional languages. And these regional languages are used in their regions, in schools, with Mandarin. The average African is multilingual. And the language is not education. It is a factor of education, especially if you're not using it as a subject. So we can use our languages. I take an example. If France can use French, Mali can use Bambara at the same status and the same level. Gambia and Senegal can use Wolof or Mandingo or Fulfulde. And we have Kiswahili in East Africa. We come into that. You know, ACALAN's role in promoting Kiswahili as an office and a working language of the AU and a language of wider communication. So we need to come together as institutions and organizations to try to create this synergy that we need, because nobody is coming to do this thing for us. It is our responsibility and it is our task, and it is the African people that can do it. Somebody else coming, there is something behind it. And we say, he who pays the piper calls the tune. So this is why the member states of the African Union should fund this African Languages Week, African Languages Development Activities. And they are doing that. That's what they are doing. So we are grateful. So it's a collective responsibility, and we're grateful for the participation of this institution. It was remarkable. Everybody was enthusiastic, and we have some more programs coming around the end of February to close the program, and we'll get ready. We have established a standing committee called the African Languages Week Coordinating Committee. We gave them a tenure of 5 years, and all over Africa and in the diaspora, we have people sitting in it from France, from America, Kentucky, from Sweden, and all the five major regions of Africa. Their role is to organize, to coordinate, to assist ACALAN in organizing the African Languages Week yearly. So they did a tremendous job without any resources, and then they came up with this idea of media outreach this year, and then there we go, we continue, the struggle goes on.
Most definitely, I believe that there's much more we can do. You also made mention of the ACALAN's mission, as in taking stock of African languages, how they are faring globally, and also to increase awareness about these languages. With regards to the objectives of ACALAN, which include vehicular cross-border languages, linguistic atlas for Africa, national language policies, and continental language policies, these are very remarkable initiatives, and perhaps we might want to shed light on each one of these things and to know how far ACALAN has come with regards to implementing them.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that point is very, very important, because As the EU's ambassador, as the EU's specialized institution in language matters, we're trying to implement our mandate and collaborate with institutions and organizations, both on the continent and outside. For example, UNESCO is our major partner. Now, we, as any institution belonging to an intergovernmental organization like the African Union, we have organs, working structures, and we have projects. ACALAN has six core projects. Now, trying to take stock of how we are doing in our language development activities is relevant to us. So the first project that we have is the Linguistic Atlas of Africa. One day I was sitting in this office and the Radio France International called me and asked me how many languages do we have on the African continent. I said, I don't know. They said, how can you be seated in that chair and you're telling me that you don't know that? I said, because nobody knows. We are only speculating. So the answer is this Linguistic Atlas of Africa, whose main objective is to determine precisely the number of African languages, their status, their interrelations, and their dialectical variation. And this would help corpus development, grammar, terminology, and policy guidelines also. So this we have started. We have started producing maps in East Africa, and we are operating according to regional economic communities. As you know, the African Union considers the regional economic communities as the building blocks of African integration and development. So we operate according to regional economic communities. And since we are in West Africa here, the headquarters of the African Union in Mali, we launched this in the ECOWAS region. We call it ECOWAS and the Islamic Republic of Mauritania because Mauritania is not part of ECOWAS and we are covering the whole of West Africa. And then we have established the management structure, the continental management structure. We have a continental coordinator who is an academician, a member of ACALAN's Assembly of Academicians, Professor Al Mutenje of Malawi, University of Malawi. And we have regional coordinators and Mr. James Meadow of Sierra Leone, belonging to the Statistics Bureau, the National Statistics Bureau of Sierra Leone. And we have a deputy coordinator in Burkina Faso. We were working with the National Bureaus of Statistics and with our national structures, you know. So this is what we are doing for the Linguistic Atlas of Africa. It's an ambitious project. It's a very expensive project. And we need to go along with this thing to try to determine these precise numbers of our languages. And many people, they multiply these languages unnecessarily. And then when you speak of one language, which have different varieties that are comprehensible, we treat them as different languages. And these are the same. For example, the Mandenkan, you have the Bambara, the Jula, the Maninka, and the Mandinka. They are comprehensible. You have Kinyarwanda, you have Kinyarwanda and Kirundi. Kinyarwanda in Rwanda, Kirundi in Burundi, they are 99% intelligible. But people treat this as two different languages. So you have many languages like that. Luganda, Lufumbira, Lugwere, they are the same languages, you know? So this is what we try to do, to try to precisely determine the number of African languages, their interrelations, their status, their dialectical variations, to assist policymakers to assist our development programs, our integration programs, etc. Now, we have other programs also. For example, we have the Pan-African Masters and the Doctorate Program in African Languages and Applied Linguistics. Now, this language development activities are very important for us. What? To not rely on outsiders. We need to create a pool of experts. We need to train young Africans to become specialists in linguistics, African linguistics, applied linguistics in African languages. And this is what we're doing. The PanMAPAL program is based in University of Yaounde 1, and we have trained students. We have even produced doctors who are teaching in universities as linguists, you know? And we have Cape Town, we have Addis Ababa, you have Nairobi, and we're trying to expand to other universities to try to form Africans, young Africans, to become specialists in African languages so that the African people can ensure their own language development. So that is PanMAPAL. Now we have a Pan-African Center for Interpretation and Translation. That's the third project. This Pan-African Center for Interpretation and Translation is to train young Africans to become in the profession of translation and interpretation. Now, if you look at the field of translation and interpretation in Africa, most of the schools turn around English and French and Portuguese and Spanish, and maybe the only African languages that they consider now is Arabic. So what Akalan is trying to do is to establish this center. We inaugurate this center in 2018, and we're going to launch this center, the activities next year, to train Africans in the art of translation and interpretation amongst African languages, basically Kiswahili to Lingala, Wolof to Mandenkan, Kinyarwanda to Betifan, etc. We can train, we can involve former colonial languages, but it would not be between English and French and Portuguese and Spanish. It would either be from French to Kiswahili or from these colonial languages, former colonial languages, to African languages and vice versa. But our activities, we're coming to Kiswahili, which is a major program for Akalan. Our activities are mainly going to be centered on Kiswahili as a core subject to other African languages and then to the former colonial languages and vice versa. So that is the Pan-African Center for Interpretation and Translation. We have the Terminology and Lexicography Project. We want to use African languages as official languages and languages of instruction. We don't want to teach African languages as subjects, merely subjects. We want to teach economics, anthropology, physics, social sciences in African languages. That means there should be languages of instruction, just as the Chinese are doing, just like the Turkish are doing, just like the Swedish are doing, just like the French are doing, just like the English, the British and the Americans are doing. So we can do it. We need to create terminology. We need to create dictionaries. We need to develop grammar. We need to develop built corpus, and then bring out terms, scientific terms. Who says that African languages cannot translate scientific terms? That's what they're saying. But we have terms for these things. Most of them are hidden. We go after them and fetch them and bring them out. And if they are not there, we think they are not there, they are there, we can't find them, We create them. Our language commissions are responsible for that. They are responsible for developing these languages at grassroots in partnership with the national language structures which belong to central governments in each member state of the African Union. So terminology is relevant to ACALAN.
Yeah, so I have, you've mentioned very interesting initiatives, and especially the Pan-Africa Center for Interpretation and Translation. But I want to take us back to a particular situation, because during the celebration of the African Languages Week, we had people coming to talk about what they are doing in terms of promoting mother tongue education. And what they said was that increasingly we see that African countries are not using the native languages as languages of instruction. And so even for schools that use mother tongue as languages of instruction, some parents come and, you know, withdraw their children from these schools because there is that notion that the colonial languages are languages of opportunities. And so my question is, how do we motivate, you know, young people to actually have an interest in joining these kinds of programs for African languages?
Yeah, you know, that is a very interesting aspect of things generally. And we've been facing situations like this. But I think those parents, we might not blame them. We might not blame them. Because if you're going to school, you want to give economic value to what you're doing. You know, so if people are using African languages, and when they get out of school, there is no job for that, nobody would be interested in it. So this is how policy comes in. This is how policy comes in. And this is what we need to do. We need to give economic value to our languages. We need to, allow these languages to get jobs for those who are specializing in them. So that is it. So we need to work on that. And for that, policy is the issue, language policy. And this language policy is all about determining the position, the status, the capacities, the potentials of these languages in national development. We should not put our languages in the periphery of development activities. And this is what we're doing. Most of our policymakers, when you talk about culture and languages, they say, no, forget about that. But, this is a big problem. People are doing it. The Chinese are doing it. Everybody is learning Mandarin today. In America, in Europe, in Africa. Why? Because they have seen the economic value attached to Mandarin. So this is what Africa needs to do. And we want to do this thing with African languages. And this Panmapan is one of the tools of that. You get this thing, you get jobs, translation, interpretation, linguistic analysis, and you work at the African Union. And then you have to teach. If these languages are languages of instruction, then these languages will give jobs to people. You have interpreters. Interpretation is relevant now. You can't do anything now without it. And the numerous African languages indicate that we need to promote interpretation and translation. And now Kiswahili has just been adopted as a working language of the African Union and a language of wider communication in Africa. We have tremendous job to do in that. So our role, first of all, we are telling our policymakers that what we can do with English and French and Russian and Turkish and Swedish and Danish, we can do it with Bambara and Wolof and Kiswahili, especially Kiswahili, which is almost at the same level as these other languages in terms of development, in terms of usage. So our role is we will come together to sensitize the people. But the policymakers are the ones that needs to give us to come up with a policy status decision about our languages. how we are going to use them. If, for example, in Mali here, the Minister of Education or Culture says that if you don't validate Bambara, you don't get your certificate, everybody would rush on it. And if you don't do it, you don't get a job, everybody would do it. Bambara would have economic value. So language policy is really important in this issue. And we, Akalan here, when I say Akalan, I'm talking about all of us, the Secretariat, the Assembly of Academicians, the Scientific and Technical Committee, the Governing Board, institutions, and organizations dealing with languages and cultures. Our role is to implement, to campaign, to sensitize member states, because our problems are there. Policymakers, to come up with these language policies, to come up with ideas, to listen to Akalan and the institutions and organizations dealing with languages. Because we can't develop ourselves without these languages. And then, I mean, we are writing little stories for little hands, children, to try to start, you know, get into the idea or, I mean, to reading. You have to read. And they read English, they read other languages, they read African languages, especially Kiswahili. So that would help them. We have the African languages and the cyberspace. African languages and cyberspace is really relevant. Anything that you want to develop now, you have to go through the computer. So we try to promote African languages in the cyberspace and in cyberspace and apply human language technologies to them. We keyboards, spelling checkers, programs in African languages, websites, and we have the comprehensive and interactive platform for African languages, which we are inaugurating very soon, that will have all aspects of African languages. And to that is attached a TV, online TV, and a radio. Not only online, a station here, where we'll be broadcasting in Kiswahili and other African languages. We are shortlisting journalists in African languages to speak to the African peoples, the African peoples dealing with development, involved in development, the 60% out there that do not use English or French or Portuguese or Spanish. We'll speak to them and tell them that they are part and parcel of Africa's integration and development. So this is what we are doing as programs and projects. And we have just had the Executive Council and the summit adopt Kiswahili as a working language of the African Union and a language of wider communication in Africa. Kiswahili was adopted as an official language, but it had never been an effective working language. So now, documents will produce in Kiswahili. Translations, interpretation will be done in Kiswahili. And this will give economic value to African languages. Kiswahili, professionals would grab it, and all Africa would use it alongside other African languages. We are not relegating any language. Languages are assets. And we say that languages impose themselves by their dynamisms. And these dynamisms can be promoted by policy, decision makers. And this is what we are doing. So we have Kiswahili on board now. That is it. So we will continue on these programs, and we will continue building this synergy, this cooperation, this solidarity, linguistic solidarity, and we go together. Together, we can, we will.
it's really impressive to learn about all that Akalan is doing, particularly with the African languages and cyberspace, especially when it comes to language learning applications and platforms. African language learning platforms, like, they are really expanding, and a lot of youth are actually leading all these processes. And I also agree about the economic value of our languages, because if people don't see how they're going to make a living from the languages, they can have interest. And within the language services industry, we have this issue of, you know, sometimes finding translators to translate documents or even to interpret in our African languages. And so the Pan-African Interpretation and Translation Program that will teach African languages and that would help translators to be able to use these languages in their work is really important in that regard. And we're looking forward to all these initiatives.
Yeah. You know, as we have said, we need to do this thing and to use our languages more effectively to purify these languages, to clean them. Now, when I listen to my own language, Mandingo, journalist, specialist in these languages, and the media is comes in here as one of our major partners. 50% of the terms used in Mandingo in Gambia comes from English, and in Senegal comes from French. And other languages are like that. Many languages are like that. So we definitely have a lot of work to do. And then the terms are there. We abandon them. We know them and we don't use them. So this African Languages and Cyberspace program, especially the Akalan Comprehensive and Interactive Platform for African Languages, is a very essential program for that. Language is the tool of communication. And communication is a factor of development, of peace, of solidarity, of cooperation. So African languages are essential. So let's learn our African languages. We are not against English or French or Portuguese or Spanish. We call them partner languages because we are using these languages to develop our languages. But we are standing, reiterating this aspect of linguistic justice and democracy for African children to learn more effectively. You know, when you say chair is not education. I know chair before going to school, and they call it sirang, meaning where you sit, literally. So if you take me to school, to a classroom, all of a sudden, and you say chair, and then now you want me to take that as an as education. Me, I know chair already. Just tell me what you want me to do with this chair, and tell me that in my language, and that would be education for me. And I would grab it, it would not get away. And I would be effective. I mean, the education system would be effective. That was an experiment in, I think, Malawi. Two groups of students. One basically English, the other basically African language. 6 years. And then the African languages group were doing English also as a subject. But at the final year, the African language group were even better in English than the English group. So if you teach somebody in his or her language, that is appropriate education. So this is what Akalan is telling people. And the Language Plan of Action for Africa says that, which I said was developed in 1985 by the Inter-African Bureau of Languages, the first formal institution established by the Organization of African Unity in the 1970s, developed this language plan of action in 1985. It says that all member states of the African Union to develop vigorous and articulated language policies to determine the position, the status, the capacities, and the potentials of these languages in our development. So this is what we are using. This is what we are going to try to reform and then put Kiswahili, and we're even considering African sign languages because we are in a multilingual setup.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lang Fofa. We are really excited to have all these insights from Akalan, and most especially looking forward to the event that will be organized by Akalan, as you mentioned, at the end of February. We're looking forward to participating, and we are really glad to be able to support in promoting African languages. Thank you very much.
You are very, very welcome. I'm thankful to what Bolingo is doing, and I think this is a first step for us to come closer to each other and try to concert our efforts to create the synergy that is necessary. We'll continue working together. Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you very much.
This podcast is supported by Multilingual, your go-to source for language industry news since 1987. We invite you to go to multilingual.com/AfricaLSP to receive a free one-year digital subscription to Multilingual magazine. You can also find this link in the podcast description.